Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Tuesday, June 16th, 2020. Yesterday. Did you miss me? Yeah. Well, Eric the Tech and I had to take off for reasons I will not disclose, but they were good reasons. They're all good reasons. Some are excuses, some are reasons. Hey. No, seriously. I want to thank you very much for your patience. But I want to thank you, too, for your support and belief in our platform, HagmanReportLive.com. That's where to go. That's HagmanReportLive.com is where to go for all the video and audio. And HagmanStore.com. Hey, you want some coffee? Want a cup of coffee? I've got to tell you something. Right now, we are seeing a tremendous, and I mean a tremendous explosion in coffee sales. Leading the pack is Detective's Choice Coffee. That's right. Hyper-caffeinated Detective's Choice. If you like gourmet coffee, you're going to like Hagman's. Oh, there's select coffee. I pick the beans myself. No, I don't. You know, invariably. Somebody is going to take that and run with it and say, oh, yeah, what do they call that? You know what I'm talking about. No, you're just lying. It's humor.
You were very involved in the test process.
I actually, yes. In fact, I'm still hovering from all the caffeine I took in.
We almost had to lock him up because he was so picky.
You know, that's one thing. I got to tell you this. I don't want to take too much time, but I want to say this. I really, really, if I'm going to put my name on something, I really have to believe in it. And that's something, and I really have to like it. So, cheers. Go to HagmanStore.com. Look, I know it's expensive, but you know why it's expensive? Because we put our profits to Vets for Child Rescue and Rustizdar. And cover the cost of just the coffee itself. So that's what the deal is. All right. So HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanStore.com as well. Get yourself some coffee. Get a friend a bag of coffee, whole bean grind, K-cups, whatever. We've got them all. So seriously, it's good. Good stuff. Three types. And you can read about it at HagmanStore.com. All right. A couple of things. In a little bit, I want to have Coach. I called Coach Dave Dobmar at the very last moment. Now, if you've been listening to the huddle, you know Coach Dave Dobmar, the focus and friend of Right Wing Watch, of course, has some feelings on a recent yesterday's SCOTUS transgender ruling. Did you hear about this? You've got to be flipping kidding me. I'll tell you what. No, and hell no. Period. So we're going to be hearing about that. I'm going to save the outrage for Coach Dave. Collusion. Folks, here's what you're going to be hearing. I'm going to tell you what you're going to be hearing in the next few weeks. Number one, you're going to be hearing about President Trump, about President Trump being doing unconstitutional things, questioning his ability to rule, questioning his questioning everything about him. Obviously, that's been happening for 4 years. You might say, "Well, tell me something I don't know." Well, no, they're going to take this to a higher level. That's number one. Number two, you're going to see. Strain number two of the Wuhan virus, or a new strain coming out. That's right. It's already hit China, supposedly. You've had 100 and some odd new. They locked China down even more, the various provinces. I'm not going to get too detailed into that. But that's the second thing you're going to hear about. And it's going to demand, you're going to see a demand, an increased demand here in the United States for additional lockdowns. Now, bear in mind, here's the big picture. And a UN official even admitted, UN officials plural, I suppose, even admitted that the Chinese Party virus, Black Lives Matter, climate change agendas, they're all related. They're inseparable agendas. We know this. I've been saying this before. When you add in the communist, the red thread, and the Muslim, the green thread, along with the climate change, watermelon thread, this is what you get. You get the attempted takedown of the United States. Now, tomorrow, because I've got to go on a top secret mission tomorrow. Eric the Tech and I do. We're infiltrating some communist groups tomorrow. We're going to turn the show over to Brandon House tomorrow. And he's going to talk about this. Break this down. Oh, is he going to do it? So tomorrow night, Brandon House is going to take the helm in Eric the Tech and my absence. Again, we're going to be infiltrating some communist group, a communist group. I'm going as Eric. Eric's going as me, and we'll see what happens with that. I'm going to be wearing masks, so it doesn't really matter, right? But let me get into it very quickly. And Eric the Tech, just give me a shot when we have Coach. Coach, I contacted him right before the show tonight, and I said, hey, you do anything? No, I'm just in my back 40, you know. And I said, well, you want to come on and talk to me? I mean, I'm not sure if you have any really big feelings about this Supreme Court ruling yesterday. And when he got done laughing, he said, yeah, I'll be on. So just Eric the Tech, give me a yell. But the global response and the fallout from this pandemic, the plandemic that we saw, this whole thing has been a dress rehearsal for a global catastrophic event and series of events. Now, there is an article. Let me see if I can get this. Lise Kingo. This article, by the way, there's an article from NewsWars. And this executive director of the UN Global Compact, Lise Kingo. This is only part of the story, by the way. But this person insisted in an interview with The Guardian that there were very clear connections, in fact, very, very clear connections, linking the current health crisis, climate change issues, and the Black Lives Matter protests that have spread across the globe. All right, that's the quote now. All right, or that's the excerpt from this. The Communist Chinese Party virus, that plandemic, was just the fire drill. That's for what is coming, she told NewsWars. Government actions purportedly taken to stop the spread of the virus have crippled economies across the globe. And I say that was the intent, regardless of the event, that was the intent. And it's all been attributed to widespread social unrest. All right, let me move on here. Because again, this connects some dots, and we have to be looking at this. We have to be looking at this in the larger sense. I don't know how many people over the weekend in my absence yesterday, in the absence of the program yesterday, how many people did you see, talking about and looking at and infiltrating in the Chaz area, that autonomous zone in Seattle. Watch for that kind of behavior to creep up as well in different parts of the country. Now, it may not look like that, but just watch for that. Okay, let me get back to the article I was talking about. This Kingo also argued that the death of George Floyd at the hands of police exposed this horrible racism in the United States. I mean, horrible racism. Now, I've got numbers here. I can give you numbers. I'm going to tell you something about numbers. I believe and I'm doing this from memory because I don't have my book with me right here. I believe there were like 53 million contacts with law enforcement, citizen contacts with law enforcement last year. And those include multiple contacts. So you have to understand it's not 53 million people. There were 53 million contacts across the United States. And again, from memory, let me just grab this. Let me see if I got this. All right. I guess I can bring my book here, right? All right. I want to get this correct. Eric the Tech, sing for me, will you? What'd you just say? Oh, all right. Anyway, there were, hang on just one second here. There were 1,000. Where did I put that? I've got so many notes, so many pages of notes. There were 1,000, I believe 1,004 or 1,014 law enforcement shootings, involved shootings. And out of that number, I think 9 were blacks. All right. So, were shootings of blacks. So I just want to let you know that the numbers don't bear out the, don't bear out what you're hearing on the news and this institutional racism, this systemic racism that is being mentioned. And don't forget, I always like to go back to this statistic because I think this really tells the tale. What you're about to see is rooted in this as well. In April, or again, I want to tell you about this. If you've heard this before, great. If you haven't, well, listen up. 1.7 million guns were sold in May of 2020. That was last month. 1.7 million guns were sold last month in the United States. That's just based on the background checks done by the for the purchase of the guns. That represents an 80% increase over the previous May. Now, there was an increase in gun ownership or gun purchases, 70% increase in gun purchases in April. More than 3.5 million guns in total were purchased in the United States in 60 days based on records checks. All right. I want to tell you that right now. So what you're going to be seeing in addition to everything else is you're going to be seeing, I believe, things going from where we're at right now to something much, much worse. And when I say much worse, I'm going to tell you right now, I believe what the plans are to put those guns to use. I'm not advocating that. I'm stating that as my assessment of how things are going to go. And, Eric, the Tech, just let me know when Coach is ready. What's that? Okay. All right. And again, he's going to be coming on. We're talking about the Supreme Court decision yesterday. All right. So when you pull back a little bit and you look at that and remember that those numbers, and we're on schedule. This, although there's nothing official about this, my conversations with a local gun store owner tell me that we're on schedule to increase the numbers from June of last year. So we're halfway through June. A little more than halfway through June, those numbers are holding fast. So at that rate, to me, you cannot have an influx of weapons. Oh, and by the way, ammunition is getting very difficult in certain areas to purchase, to find. Just saying. So keep this in the back of your mind. Those numbers I was looking for, this, it might be in my other book, but they're close. Again, nine fatalities, black fatalities out of over a thousand shootings, officer related shootings. And again, if I'm off a little bit, please understand I'm doing this by memory. All right. So what I was telling you about this, the UN, and what they are doing, the influence by the UN. Remember Agenda 2030. Remember Agenda 21. Remember the biodiversity projects. Remember all of the. Keep these in the back of your mind. The UN, of course, sponsored all of this or is behind all of this. So anyway, what the UN came out and said is, hey, look, all of these things are related. And in the case of the, in the case of the pandemic, this is just a fire drill, a dress rehearsal, if you will. Again, as I mentioned earlier, this UN official, Kingo, also argued that the death of George Floyd, like I said, at the hands of police exposed this horrible racism in the world, not just the United States, but the world, and that human rights were inseparable from dealing with climate issues. Now, to meld those together is disingenuous, intellectually dishonest, and certainly agenda-driven. Just want to point that out. You can read this on NewsWars, newswars.com. And that was published, I think that was published earlier today. It was published earlier today. And that's excerpted, I believe, from RT. So there you go. All right, with me to talk about something that I know that he's pretty wishy-washy on is this Supreme Court transgender ruling. If you haven't seen this or heard about this, or you're saying, what? The Supreme Court made a ruling? Yeah. Here's the bottom line. In the ruling yesterday, what they did was, they inserted gender identity inserted gender identity in place of sex, meaning biological sex. Just think of it this way. 1964 law. The U.S. Supreme Court called a man a man and a woman a woman. Anyway, now it's what you identify with. This backed up by a Supreme Court ruling. Here to make sense and for colorful commentary, I hope, Coach Dave Dobmeier. His website, CoachDaveLive.com. If you haven't gone there, go there. CoachDaveLive.com. I'm going to tell you something. If anyone is deserving of support and you want to get educated, edumacated, I'm going to tell you, tune in to the huddle. Tune into his huddle. Coach Dave's interactive live huddle, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning. Anyone who gets up at that hour, aside from Coach and I mean, you know, I'm telling you, you're going to learn a lot. That's CoachDaveLive.com. Coach, I'm not going to spend any more time introducing you. Kyle, Right Wing Watch. Hey, fire up your recorder. Tune in. Here we go. Coach, how are you, my brother?
Hey, Doug, a little bit technologically challenged today. I had to change headphones. I couldn't get my studio microphone to work down there. So I'm sorry. I'm sitting here at my kitchen table. And Doug, I thought maybe I ought to do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now, Doug, listen, I'm going to do this for a different reason. I'm going to say some words that people don't want to hear. So hopefully this will block it. Now, look, folks, if you really don't want to know what's going on, you can do this. You can wear your mask like this. That's where most people wear them. And I haven't figured out yet how to get one that will go around the ears the other way, but we're working on it, Doug. Wow. You know, Doug, it's crazy, isn't it, Doug? All the stuff we've been warning people about it's right here. Rush Limbaugh wrote that book, See, I Told You So. And I don't feel happy telling people, yeah, see, I told you so. But we've told them, didn't we, Doug? We told them.
You did. I got to tell you, I remember being with you briefly on the court steps of the Supreme Court, and you said to me, you said to me, you know, if they pass Obergefell, if Obergefell passes, that's just the beginning of travails. I mean, bad stuff. Mm-hmm. And boy, were you right.
Well, I'm sorry I was right, but we had something happen yesterday with the Supreme Court, Doug. I think it's even worse.
Yeah.
I'm serious what I just said. What the Supreme Court did yesterday with the approval and support of two, dare I say it, conservatives, right? Was it Kavanaugh? Was it one of those guys? One of the other ones.
Gorsuch.
Gorsuch, thank you. Yeah. Gorsuch and, of course, John Roberts, who's not even, he's not even nearly a conservative anymore, whatever that term means.
Yeah, I don't
know. They, in fact, yesterday, they compared being a transgender to being black. There's no difference in those two things at all anymore. And it's based on what I call voodoo science, right? It's voodoo science. Yeah. Remember when George H.W. Bush talked about voodoo economics? Well, brother, we got voodoo science. And something that the courts have been, that the legislators have been struggling over with transgender bathrooms and, you know, trans women sports and all that stuff that's going on. Somebody's trying to buzz in on my phone. All that stuff that the legislators have been dealing with, Doug. The Supreme Court took care of it for them yesterday, and they created a new status of people, and that new status of people is what? Deviant sexual behavior.
Yeah.
Deviant sexual behavior is now constitutionally protected, and you can't discriminate against it. Now, the far-reaching impact of this is just as bad, in my opinion, as Roe versus Wade for a different reason. And the bedrock of the building block of all of American civilization is the family, man and a woman, right?
Agreed.
Brother, that's out the window. That's out the window. And now it's going to impact women's sports. It's going to, what do you do when you go to, when you send your beautiful daughter off to college and find out her roommate is a man who dresses like a woman? And you're not allowed to say anything about it. You're not allowed to complain about it. And you want to go to the bathroom, and there's no longer bathrooms anymore. You just kind of walk in wherever you want to. This is so disruptive. See, the purpose of the Supreme Court should be to bring clarity, and they did just the opposite on it, Doug. Now, here's my question. Let me get this rant out, Doug. Hey, by the way, I got my shirt on today. It says, y'all need Jesus. I thought that this is more appropriate today than any day at all. We all need Jesus.
Careful. Man. Don't trigger anyone.
Well, that's why. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe I should have done this before I said it, and then they wouldn't have heard it. But I got this, by the way, Doug. From I jumped on a plane, Southwest Airlines. You go wear one of those, right? So I did this. I went on a plane like this, and nobody said a word to me. So I will not comply. I will not comply, brother. I will not comply. Anyway, Doug, nothing's safe, brother. There ain't anything safe. A man's not a man anymore. A woman's not a woman anymore. And our ability to judge, or that's even not the right word, to differentiate based on those two things, Supreme Court just threw those out the window yesterday. 6-3.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't believe it. This 6-3 Supreme Court decision, it recognizes gay and transgender persons as being protected under the 1964 Civil Rights Act under the definition of sex. Now, back then, there was no confusion over the definition of biological sex, male,
there,
female.
There isn't, Doug. It still isn't.
It still's not. Yeah, that's right. No, you're right. So, I mean, in case people didn't hear about this, but now sexual orientation has become a protected employment category as viewed by the Department of Labor, the EEOC. And that's been around since the mid 90s. So, okay. But now these black robe tyrants did what? They just said, oh, we're going to codify this supposedly, but it's really no law, is it? I mean, who gives a damn what they rule in a sense? I mean, especially when it's antithetical to the Constitution and in the Bible. It just doesn't make any sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, but see, Gorsuch, I'm not a lawyer, although my son is. I apologize for that. Gorsuch and these lawyers, they think that they have the ability, Doug. They talk about originalism, stare decisis, right? Stare decisis, the previously decided case law. So Gorsuch looks at previously, it wasn't him, wasn't it? Was it Gorsuch? Yeah. Gorsuch looks at previously decided case law and says, well, yeah, I guess the law does say you can't discriminate on anybody based on sex. Well, previously decided law before that said there were two sexes. There was a man and a woman. So Gorsuch has now rejected natural law, which was the ultimate stare decisis, in favor of voodoo law, which is made up. I think I'm a woman. I think I'm LeBron James. I think I'm black. I think I'm red. I think I'm old. I think I'm young. And now science has gone out the window. And so it's open season. We saw it coming, Doug. We caught, now, see, here's the, I'm going to try to be kind. See, churches are going to say, well, there's another Supreme Court decision that they're dealing with right now, and they're going to exempt churches. They're going to exempt religious organizations from this law. Well, I hope they don't, myself.
You hope but even they if don't?
They, no, I hope they don't.
Explain
I hope they
that.
Don't, Doug, because I believe that the church deserves whatever they didn't fight against. That's what I think. And for us to have a religious exemption and allow everybody else, we're over in the corner like the Amish. We have these Christian laws and everybody else is over here. I don't go for that, Doug. And I think we should have stood up and fought against it and should have said, the Supreme Court's lost its stinking mind. There's a man and a woman, DNA, XX, XY, ain't nobody changing it, not ever. And again, stand and fight on truth. But, instead we want to figure a way to wiggle out of it and get the church to be somehow exempt from it. Oh my God, we got everything upside down. I'm actually in a pretty good mood, Doug, but this stuff really gets my blood pressure going.
Well, you know, look, I'm behind you 100%. I think this is ridiculous. This is going to open up an entirely new can of worms, I believe. And just like Obergefell opened up an entirely new can of worms, and we're really seeing that right now. This is to fundamentally transform everything that is right and moral in our country and even scientifically backed. You know, you can do whatever. You can cut your ding-a-ling off if you're so, yeah, kind of like that, Health and Human Services director here in Pennsylvania. I still call him, Dickless Levine. I mean, you can cut it off. You're still a guy. You're still a dude. Your DNA is, okay? It ain't gonna change!
Right.
And you're gonna tell me, for crying out loud, you're gonna tell me, what I have to do in terms of my health? I don't think so, when you can't even decide what friggin' sex you are.
Right. Well, we let him get away with it though, right, Doug?
Yeah. See,
we allow the devil's kids, demonically challenged individuals, to create the law, and then we have to live under it. And we think that somehow that is the way that Jesus died so that transgenders can have the right, same rights as everybody else. That's pretty much the position of the church. Now listen, that's tongue in cheek, folks. But the fallback position is people are always going to say, well, you know, we're just passing through here. This isn't our home. Hey, Doug, I got a little grandson. Got to live in this world when I leave. You do too. You know what that's like. And we're going to leave them in a ball of confusion. You remember that song, I think. Who did that one? That was a good one. Ball of confusion. And America's in a ball of confusion to where the highest court in the land is now operating off of what I call voodoo science. Doug, there's no scientific proof at all that a transgender man is a woman. There's no science to it. And yet we now have made it what they would say is established law. Of course, it's not established law because courts don't make law. But we let them get away with it.
You're absolutely correct, Coach. And I... You know, what do we do about this at this point? What can we do? I mean...
Well, why wouldn't we rebel? Why wouldn't there have already been a rebellion from Christian organizations? What Southern Baptist convinced, they've gone so left. Can't count on them.
Right.
The Assemblies of God. Nah, they don't want to get involved. Why hasn't there already been an uproar? Why hasn't somebody, Franklin Graham, already called on a march on the Supreme Court? Why aren't people out in front of John Roberts' house? Finally, what the heck's going on with that? Doug, I don't know. I'm a radical, right? That's why I need this right here. That's why I need this.
Well, you know what, Coach?
Because I can always claim I didn't say it, Doug. I didn't say it.
I think I got you beat. I'm not going to put this on, but whenever I go to Walmart or the grocery store, I wear this.
You got me beat. I give in. I told my wife I want to get a football helmet so I can go into Walmart with a face mask on. See what they say when I do that, you know? Wrong kind of face mask.
Yeah.
You know, tongue in cheek, Doug, we can laugh about all this stuff, but this ain't funny.
No, it's not. You know, no, And I quoted some statistics here. You know, some 3.5 million guns were purchased 60 days from end of May through in the beginning of April. I'm wondering if we're about ready to hit our flashpoint at some point. You know, you've got this autonomous region in Seattle, which I don't know how, I mean, if I was the mayor over there, there would be no autonomous region. There'd be a crater, but no autonomous region.
That's what they want. They want us. I turned some lights on. I don't know if that'll help or not. They want us to push back, don't they, Doug? They want us to push back so they can say, see, there you go with those crazy right wingers. There you go. That's what I think they're pushing us to. And you're talking about Seattle. What's the first thing those guys in Seattle did? Well, they went out and got some guns, didn't they?
Yeah, they did,
They put up borders and they started checking IDs. They didn't let just anybody in. So they've got they've got their own mini country where they've adopted all of Donald Trump's policies, but yet don't realize that they have. Well, Doug, it's coming to a city near you. It's coming to a city near me, whether we want to admit it or not. It's already here. It's already here.
It is.
And, we gotta bone up and understand. That's what people are buying guns, Doug, for protection. Cause we found out, 2 weeks ago, a week ago, when all those rallies, all those, peaceful protests began, that the police were gonna stand down, Doug. Police can't protect us. We all have known that, haven't we? Really known that. They can't. Or they won't, but they can't protect us. That's why so many guns are being sold.
I don't agree with with some of the police behavior. I really don't necessarily 100% agree with the severe militarization of the police departments. Okay, John Whitehead wrote a book about that. You know, so I understand that, and I understand how that came into existence, and I understand that maybe we need to temper that a little bit. However, police, I mean, in that autonomous zone, that auto shop owner, the guy that owned the owns the auto parts store, got a guy in the store who was stealing from him and then started the store on fire, called the cops 11, 12 times, and the cops wouldn't come. You're right. This is where we're headed. And I think, I don't know whether you saw this, Coach, but I think this is kind of, I don't want to say humorous. I think it's a little bit ironic. Chicago, you know, Lori Lightfoot, the lesbianic mayor of Chicago, right?
How does somebody vote somebody like that in? It's amazing.
Exactly. Well, she explains why the COVID Ministry of Compliance, I don't know, needs to cancel, all the days off for police officers, okay, extend their shifts into 12-hour day shifts, and then deploy what she calls social distancing ambassadors to ensure that social distancing is maintained. Now, this, of course, is not during the riots. This is just, you know, like on the Lakefront Trail there in Chicago and such. So, I digress. But the police right now, to me, they're in a hard position because they're not being backed up. But go ahead.
Well, Doug, it's all happened because of that fear porn that you and Steve Quayle have been pushing all around. You guys have instigated all this, right?
Well, you know, I think they're giving us too much credit, to be honest with you. But
the truth being, why would anybody want to be a cop? You know, and I was watching these guys that got. This other guy got shot down in Atlanta. There are people justifying. Hey, Doug, let me help everybody out here. If a cop pulls you over, don't start a fight with him. Listen. If you live in America, you understand that might be a dangerous proposition. Don't fight with two of them. Don't grab their taser. Don't do that. You're asking for trouble, right? So again, they want to try to turn that into some type of racial issue when in fact we know what it isn't. Doug, what we have here is, that's why I got my shirt on. Y'all need Jesus. Doug, there's a devil loose. There's a devil loose.
Hey, that's the bottom line, isn't it? I mean.
The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, right?
Yeah.
Against, evil, I read it this morning on my own show. If I can do a promotion, Doug.
Please do.
Folks, if you got some, yeah, go check that show we did this morning. It is really, really pretty amazing. If you have a spiritual inclination at all, we really crack some stuff open that you don't hear about. You don't hear about in your church and all that stuff. And so I tried to take people through and explain who are these wickedness in high places. Wickedness in high, darkness, evil. That's what's going on, Doug. These people are not just crazy. They're demonically oppressed or possessed or, use whatever word you want to, influenced. The battle we're fighting is a spiritual war. It's manifesting itself in the natural. That's why guys like Russ Dizdar and Ali Marzulli and those guys are so popular to hear from because we don't hear about it. Those of us in the church don't have a concept of really what's going on around us. And Jesus told us not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, we don't even know what they are. We don't even know what his devices are. Ultimately, the battle that we're fighting, the battle that we're going to continue to fight in the good U.S. of A is over truth. What is truth? What is truth? Is Bruce Jenner a woman? No, he either is or he isn't. But there's some truth in there, isn't it, Doug? Is he a woman or is he not? Is a man in a man's body a woman simply because he thinks he is? Can't be both ways, brother. It can't be both ways. And so the battle and everything we're fighting against has to do with truth. Look at the lies that they've thrown out against Trump. Look at the lies that the media has told us. Look at the way our government has lied to us in general. Ultimately, Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you know the truth, if you know it, will set you free. That's where the battle's lying. Truth and lies. And most of us still have not figured out how this battle's being fought.
You know, that's one thing I really like about your huddle. And folks, go to CoachDaveLive.com. I cannot promote this enough. I try to catch this every day as often as I can. It's at 7 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time. That's CoachDaveLive.com. If you live on the East Coast, you should be able to easily tune in. You really go over the spiritual aspects of current events.
Yeah, Doug, not in a churchy way though, right? A churchy way. Now, listen, if I didn't host it, I'd watch it. I think it's that good. Because we try to help people who have even a modicum of Christian understanding we try to explain to them what's going on. To understand that this is not just crazy people. There are other things that are going on. We talk about all the issues and a lot of guys have come a long way from watching it, Doug. And so if we don't understand that the battle is spiritual, if we don't get that, then we're not going to understand what's going on. We're not going to understand, Bible, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God that is pulling down the strongholds. If we don't understand how to use them, what they're about and what they're for, and understand that we are living in a nation that has been seized by dark forces. I'm going to say it again real slowly. We're living in a nation that has been seized by dark forces. Dark forces that it speaks about in the Bible. You need to be a Bible believer, but if you want to know what's going on, get a feel for what might be happening, that's what we do 5 days a week. We talk about those things and try to open the eyes to people and give them a game plan. As you know, Doug, I'm a doer.
I'm a doer.
So every time when I see an issue like this, when I see Gorsuch. When I see Gorsuch and Robert do what they did, my immediate response is always, all right, what should we do? That's always my response. And I think that's unusual in Christianity, isn't it? Why is that, you think, Doug?
Christianity, people, to me, I think most people look at Christianity as a spectator sport. They're very passive. Turn the other cheek. Well, we're not supposed to turn the other cheek in instances like this where there is grave injustice. And I have to really applaud your program and you and the people who contribute to your program in terms of the discussion, how well grounded everyone is in the huddle in terms of advancing the objective. And you are a doer. So again, this is, folks, CoachDaveLive.com. Tune in.
Christianity's punch counterpunch, brother.
Yeah, it is.
We're in a war, right? The Bible says we wrestle not. I said that today on my show, I love the way the King James is written, because Paul said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't talk like that, do we, Doug? We would say we don't wrestle. We don't wrestle. But he says we do wrestle, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So it is a punch counterpunch. And we're punching bags. We never counterpunch. We never fight back. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And sadly, what's going to happen, Doug, I think this thing, like when we talked about when we went to Hillary's house and I talked to the Secret Service guys there, they asked if I was violent. I said, I'm here to prevent violence. I'm here to prevent it. Come on, man. Because what? You can only push a guy so far. And they just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And we never counterpunch. So we're being forced to live under their worldview, their idea of the way things should be, their attitude, their political correctness. And if you have something to say that goes foreign or counter to what they say, you are what? You're persona non grata. Last week I wrote a commentary, Doug. I called it, entitled it, that faithism, faith, F-A-I-T-H, faithism is more dangerous than racism. And I think if we were to sit down and we were to be really, really gut honest with each other, we would have to admit that more people are persecuted for their faith in America than they ever are for their race. I think a lot of racism is perception. I don't think faithism. I don't think that the discriminating against people because of their faith. I don't think that's made up. I think that's plainly obvious.
Sure.
And they say that they're allowed to, right? They say they're allowed to. Well, if they can't discriminate against me because I'm a transsexual, why can they discriminate against me because I'm a Christian? That doesn't seem very fair, Doug.
No.
That's where the battle is. That's where the battle lies.
Wow. Okay. And I see this opening up to, I like that, by the way, I like that, the call
faithism.
There, faithism. Faithism.
Faithism. Faithism.
In the wake of this Supreme Court ruling, the question can be asked about, well, what about pedophilia, for example, or,
Yeah, where does it stop, huh?
Well, Gorsuch, by the way, dismissed, the writing for the, opinion, he dismissed the dissent's charge that he was backfilling into this statute, ideas that his crafters would regard as absurd and immoral. So there were some pushback in the dissent. However, the affirming, opinion, it didn't seem like he had any answers for what this opens up into. Anyway,
can I drop another bomb here? So
please.
Listen, if they're going to ban me, I want to give them a read. I'll put this on again so that maybe I can filter some of the stuff I'm going to say here. Because I say stuff I believe. I'm not politically correct. I couldn't care less about it. Jesus will ask us to defend the truth. And that's what I want to do. And I showed on my show today, again, folks, if you get a chance, I'm telling you, it's a good watch this morning. Doug, you know that, let me come in the back door on you here, Doug, sort of, speaking of transgender. I see what you did there. Carnal mind every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Doug, if you were, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. If you were to define yourself, what religion are you, Doug?
A Christian. Religion?
Okay. Me too. I was raised a little Catholic boy, and then I got radically saved. Then I became an evangelifish for a while, and now I'm, I don't know what I am. I've been a lot different. I don't even know what I am anymore. I don't even know.
Well,
I think I'm an evangelical. I think they would call me that. I think. I don't know what it means, but I go to one of those churches that don't have any steeples on them or any crosses, the ones that look like malls, the ones most people go to anymore. And so if you ask the average person, what religion are you? They stumble because they don't know what to say, do they?
No, that's true.
So Doug, are you represented on the, because it's about a jury of our peers. Are you represented on the Supreme Court, Doug? Is there somebody on the Supreme Court that represents your religious views? Do you know? Do you know what the guys on the Supreme Court self-identify? When you go look at their bios, which I did this morning on my show, you know what religion they are. Do you know what the religious makeup of the United States Supreme Court is, Doug?
No, I don't.
Are there any Baptists on there, you think?
Are
Methodists? Are there some Methodists on there? Suppose there's any Presbyterians? Are there any evangelifish, non-denominational Christians, which, by the way, is about 35% of American population. 35 of them are what they would call evangelicals. Are there any evangelicals on the U.S. Supreme Court, Doug? Do you know?
I'm afraid to even answer that question. I don't know. Coach, talk to me.
You'd like me to help you?
Please.
Okay. Well, after we checked it today on CoachDaveLive.com, I'm going to hold – can you see? Yeah, you can see. There's nine people altogether on it. Nine.
All right.
Six. That would be five plus one. Six of them are Roman Catholic.
No.
Doug, sit down. The other three are Jewish. So the entire American U.S. Supreme Court does not have one Protestant on it. Not one Protestant on the United States Supreme Court. Well, hang on. The guy, the Gorsuch, one of them, Kavanaugh was raised Catholic. I think it was him. And he's now flipped over to, he's an Episcopalian. Google it, folks. Google it.
Really?
And ask yourself, are modern mainstream evangelical Christian values represented on the U.S. Supreme Court? Six Catholics. I'm not bashing Catholics. Just telling you the truth. Six Catholics. Three people of Jewish. Does that seem right, Doug? What would people be screaming and howling if it was six evangelicals? Would they be screaming and howling then? Shouldn't the Supreme Court have a representation of the people? Isn't it a jury of our peers, they tell us?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it would be applicable in turn. Okay, yes, but
let's see how quick Eric is on his feet. Eric. Well, while Doug and I are talking, Google Wikipedia or somebody, or Google a religious affiliation of Supreme Court justices. If you think people think I'm lying. Right? Now, I'm politically incorrect here, okay? Stay with me. I was raised Catholic. I know the difference between being a Catholic Christian and an evangelicish Christian. I've been both of them.
Yeah, me too.
And they ain't the same, bud. They ain't the same.
No.
They're not the same, right?
Right.
And as far as traditions are concerned and services, they're just not the same. Not the same. And so, as I said, about 35% of American citizens are evangelifish and no Protestants. Doug, not one Protestant. Not one Protestant on the United States Supreme Court.
My goodness. Okay. I never checked that and I don't know why. Okay. Thank you for checking that.
Huh? Does that mean something? I mean, isn't that a bit weird?
It's, I guess I really never considered that.
Well, it almost gets us into tinfoil hat territory, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it begin to act? I wonder what's going on here? What really is going on here behind the scenes, right?
Oh, man. Six Roman, okay, so six Catholics and three Jewish.
Yes. Now, actually, Doug, I'll take it one further. They list Sotomayor lists herself as a Catholic. But I've read other stuff where, she's not Catholic. She's Jewish as well. I don't know. I don't like to put falsehoods out there.
I can tell you this.
All right, Eric's fine. Eric is all over it, man. There's the top of religious affiliations. 31%.
Wait, that's Congress. Congress.
This is Congress.
Brother. Supreme Court.
Listen, folks, I'm not bashing Catholics. Okay, I'm not bashing them. Please, it's not about that. I want my representation.
Eric, I don't know if you can. I should have given you some notice, man. I'm sorry.
He's hanging his head in shame.
The Supreme Court justices in there. We don't have to beat the horse. Trust me, friends.
Okay.
Trust me.
So
6-3.
Yeah.
No evangelicals. No Protestants. No Protestants on the Supreme Court.
Well, of course, there are no religious tests, you know, for such appointments, and offices like that. Or at least that's the story, right? But boy, that's interesting.
It's interesting because you know and I know that people are always being accused. We're hearing all the time about secret societies and all that kind of stuff, right? And we've all heard about there. Can I say it, Doug? We've heard about the Jesuit influence and all that stuff. I'm just speaking the truth here that people talk about. I'm not taking a position on it, right? I'll just keep it covered up. But the truth is, there's something very, very fishy when one Christian denomination when every Christian on the Supreme Court is of the same denomination. There's something weird there, buddy. How does that happen? Doug, do you remember? Oh, I'm getting myself in trouble.
Oh, dude.
Remember when they thought John F. Kennedy wouldn't get elected in 1960 because why? Because he was a Catholic.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They didn't think he'd ever be able to get elected. That was in my lifetime. Ah, there you go. There you go. Thank you. Eric. Hey, Doug, give him a hat. Give him something so y'all know I'm not lying.
John Roberts,
right on your screen. Roman Catholic. Clarence Thomas, Roman Catholic. Ginsburg, Judaism. Stephen Breyer, Judaism. Alito, Roman Catholic. Sonia Sotomayor, Roman Catholic. Elaine Kagan, Judaism. Neil Gorsuch, he got traded somewhere along the line. He went from a Catholic to Episcopalian. So I guess that would be a Protestant. And Kavanaugh, Roman Catholic. What the heck's going on, bud?
Huh. I never looked at that. Okay, so. Wow.
So, Doug, I'm not represented on the United States Supreme Court.
No, I don't think any. No, no.
I'm not represented in any way. And again, folks, I'm not saying this to bash any. I'm not bashing Catholics. Some of my family still are. I'm not. They have six positions on that.
But how in your estimation, how much influence does their belief, their religious ideology impact their decisions?
Yeah, how much? How much does it? And you know, it's really funny because the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church is against homosexuality. The church is. So you would think that the adherents of that church would be against it as well.
Right.
The Roman Catholic Church, as far as I know, Kavanaugh, Roberts, Gorsuch, the Roman Catholic Church is against transgenderism. I don't think they're for that, are they? And so we get these conservatives on there that we think are like-minded, and we find out that, well, they're not like-minded. They're not like-minded, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so they expand evil. I'm a little bit different, Doug. Everything about my faith motivates everything about me. It is the essence of who I am.
As it should be.
I think Christian first. Every decision I make, everything I look, I think Christian first. I think Christ first. Everything. I could never sit on the Supreme Court and call myself a Catholic and vote to kill babies. I could never sit on the Supreme Court and call myself a Christian and support transgenderism. I could never do it, Doug. How do these guys separate their personal beliefs? How do they do that? I don't know.
I don't know either. And I think with that responsibility, I think in my view, God would hold one to a higher standard having that responsibility and a high, I mean, there's some, you're going to be some explaining that going to have to be done.
Well, that's right. And so here's some more explaining. I wonder how many of those guys on the Supreme Court, I'd have to check. I wonder how many of them didn't go to Ivy League school. Doug, what was it George Carlin said? It's a big club and you ain't in it.
You ain't in it. That's you and me ain't in it. That's right.
We ain't in it.
Wow.
I'm out here fighting hard, brother. Fighting hard for everything I do. Listen, I love the Lord. I love people. I love the truth. I want to fight for the truth. I, I don't want to be an argumentative guy. I don't. But at the same time, I've got some grandbabies that I have to hand this nation off to. And I don't know how long this nation is going to be able to survive if at the highest court in the land, they think transgenderism is normal. How long do we have? When we have the highest court in the land thinking a man can marry a man, that's where that decision came from. We have the highest court in the land telling us that an unborn baby can be killed. You know, how long can we last thinking like this?
I don't know, brother. I'll tell you what, I see us chain stoking as a nation right now. I really do. I want to thank you.
I'm not giving up on. Are you giving up, Doug? I'm not going.
Oh hell no! No, that's one thing that we can't do, and I know you'll never give up.
No.
That's one thing.
No.
And you, what do you have coming up next? Because I know I get your alerts, your newsletter, your emails. What do you have coming up next that you want people to?
Well, you know what we're trying to do, Doug. I'm laying a little bit low because there's so much infiltration going on into everything that you do.
That's right.
So if I say to everybody, "Hey, come on out here and do this with us," you don't know who's going to. And we're not trying to do anything secretive, but at the same time, we don't want the enemy in our camp, right?
That's right.
So we try to keep the stuff on. We try to keep close to the best stuff that we're doing. Here's what we're doing now, Doug. I said on the show this week, I really feel for the first time, I'm an offensive guy. I'm on the offense. That's what I always believe in, that playing offense. But for the first time and since I've been doing ministry, Doug, I'm encouraging people to get into a defensive pose because I believe that there's stuff coming that we better be ready to be hunkered down and protect ourselves and protect the ones that we love. I'm telling the people right now, being out on the streets is not a safe place. It's not a safe place to be. And I'm not afraid of what might happen to me out on the streets, but the likelihood of someone doing something to me in my home or in my hometown is far more likely than it has ever been. And I think it's going to be like that for the next, till this next election's over and come hell or high water. Either way, it's not going to be very good, Doug. No matter who wins, it ain't going to be very good. That's why you're seeing the gun sales going up. And so we're looking more at that, trying to help people with doing some personal defense. Do you know how to shoot a gun? Do you know how to clean a gun? Do you know how to sight in a gun? Do you have a gun? And, all for personal defense. And that's kind of some of the stuff that we're beginning to focus on a little bit here. Another one, Doug. Different means of communication, walkie-talkie, ham radios. We're starting to help people connect that way as well.
Coach, I couldn't do it without you. I mean, I don't think many people could. I want to urge everyone to tune in to Coach Dave Live. Go to CoachDaveLive.com. Coach, we're up against the top of the hour. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy, busy, busy day. Thank you.
Only time you ever see me wearing a mask, brothers, right now.
You look good.
Bless you all. Thanks for having me.
God bless, brother. And Coach Dave, taking time out of his busy evening to come join us. Thank you so much, Coach. God bless you, my friend. We love you. CoachDaveLive.com. I'm going to be right back. Stan Dale coming up. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report. where I put this mask on during the break. This is what Eric the Tuck and I wear to Walmart and to the grocery store. It fits over your face. What do you think, guys, ladies? I couldn't breathe. Eric said, don't wear that. No one can hear you. And I figured that might be a good thing anyway. All right. Let me know when we have Stan. I don't want to, I really don't want to cut into his time. Coach Dave Live, the first hour, we were talking about, among other things, the Supreme Court ruling. By the way, I was kind of surprised. Were you surprised? Maybe you folks knew about the, religious designations of the Supreme Court justices. I was rather surprised, especially me being a Jesuit assassin, right? I'm kidding. Oh, gee whiz. It's amazing. One thing said, go to a Jesuit-run seminary as a young person and graduating and never hearing that word again, and all of a sudden you're some sort of assassin of some kind. It's amazing. People are flipping nuts, I'll tell you that. But talked about the SCOTUS decision redefining sexuality and how it's going to wreak havoc on society. If you don't think that's the case, well, think about forcing states and doctors to perform abortions, or not abortions, to perform castrations, for example. Think about the fact that barring a male who says he's a female from an all-girls sports team, bathroom, or locker room now constitutes sex-based discrimination. Think about that. Oh, what a Pandora's box have we opened with this, or have they opened with this? So, with that, I'm going to stop talking about that. And I was going to put my mask on for Stan. I've got my Serbian, I think this is Serbian, I'm not sure, Serbian or Russian gas mask. I'm ready right now. I don't know if you can see this, Stan, but here it is. Stan Dale from standale.com. Is joining me right now. Stan Dale from standale.com. Go there, show images page. Also, empshield.com/Hagman. That's empshield.com/Hagman. Have you gotten yours yet? You need to get it. You needs to get it. You gots to get it. empshield.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman for $50 off. By the way, I've been seeing his commercials on various YouTube videos. How great is that? Get yourself EMP protection that's listed by the Department of Homeland Security in their February 5th, 2019 EMP Resilience Report. You need it. We need it. Get it. EMP Shield. That's empshield.com/Hagman. Two N's on Hagman. $50 off. You will thank me later. All right. Stan, how are you, sir?
Good. Thank you. It's been an interesting week in the news. I suppose you've been watching all this nonsense and new country formed up there in the Northwest.
Yes. Stan, they have the walls built. They frisk you coming in. All the things Donald Trump wants in the country, or all the things never mind. You know what I mean? How idiotic it is. Well, how would you handle that? I'm curious. If you were the mayor of Seattle, of course, you would never have let it start to begin with, right? I guess, but how would you handle that right now?
Well, now it's a bit late, but certainly I would have gone and arrested him and by force, gone ahead and confronted him. But showing weakness like that, just insane. There may be need to the police force may need to be moderated a bit, and I can understand their attitude though, because when you deal every day with the kind of nonsense, these idiots, who are demanding things that they're not entitled to and who are looting when they get the chance, you start to become hardened to them and to their situation. And, okay, so maybe you need to have a touchy-feely session with the police every now and then, but it's the law is there for a reason, and I think that I would enforce it. Certainly stop setting up, letting them set up a separate country. That's just ridiculous. It just, look, all these things are not what sane people, Americans would do. They aren't. I think that we're definitely under attack, by the communists, the socialists. There's just no question about that. And this is should be treated as an act of war, and these people should be treated as war combatants, you know, enemy terrorists. And that means you go in with your troops, you lock them up, put them in Gitmo or whatever. And if there's an armed confrontation, then shoot them. I mean, I'm not, you know, against that. These are enemies of the state. They really are. They're not doing it the right way. Their protests are, you know, illegal and irrational as far as I'm concerned. And it's being driven by a force that is dedicated to overthrow the United States government and to our way of life.
Exactly. Yeah. And I started off the program today, I think, with a very important report. This from RT originally and then repeated on NewsWars, where the UN has said that the BLM and that movement, the Chinese party virus, as well as the climate change agenda, they're all interrelated. They're inseparable. And I think when we look at the bigger picture, I think that that's the case. I see this agenda to take down the United States really active.
All right. And look, there's problems over in Korea, South and North Korea, but South, you know, with that way station, whatever it is, that halfway point being blown up, the tensions are really rising there, which is, you know, making the United States have to honor, you know, defense pacts with South Korea. So it takes our resources to their area, which is close to China. But it's also meaning we can't put those resources elsewhere, like in the Middle East, where I think things are warming up as well. So you've got a pact some time ago, a couple of years back, between Russia and China for mutual defense, etc. And they're both calling us their enemy. In slide 49 of the show images page today, in 49 and 50, I address the issue of hypersonic missiles, which means they are missiles that go faster than the speed of sound, maybe five times the speed of sound, you know, like up around 3,000 to 3,500 miles per hour. When you're trying to track something like that and then intercept it, that means you've got to have a faster than that one type missile interceptor to get to these high-speed missiles coming into your country. And the Soviets, okay, they say they're testing one to be able to counter hypersonic weapons, which means they've got faster than five times the speed of sound. They're doing trials on a new kind of supersonic weapon. The United States, at least in the press, is behind the Soviet technology. I don't know what the Chinese are doing. I mean, it's if they've got that close of a handshake with Russia, they've probably got access to the same weapons. We are being threatened from within the country, like weakening us. Our morale as well is just being clobbered. And while we're dealing with financial problems and COVID-19 type problems in the country, as I said several times in the last month, we are at risk of being invaded by a foreign power. Well, foreign powers, China and Russia, they've got us on the East and West Coast both. This technology and the announcements that the Russians are making tells me that they are already there. They wouldn't announce things that are not tested and not in production already. They've got them in places, maybe offshore, maybe 50 miles offshore, in international waters. They've got nukes as well. I mean, you know, submarine-type nukes. And with various things happening with our earthquake zones on the West Coast, this is not good. They have a weapon which is kind of an undersea drone, which can detonate a nuclear explosion over key seismic zones in the New England coast offshore and in the west off of the Juan de Fuca plate or down further south toward California, which could cause the big one to happen. And certainly I'm seeing signs of earthquake activity that are concerning and signs of something happening in the Northwest, particularly, you know, in the Cascadia subduction zones. Look,
wow.
That's
not good. I mean,
no.
So, all right. I get the idea of the weapon, nuclear weapon. Is there any other way that they can cause that, create that to happen, those disturbances sufficient to, you know, create the big one, without being obvious? I'm not even sure I asked that question correctly, but you know what I mean? to make it seem like it was a natural occurrence as opposed to an act of war. Is there any way they can do that right now, accomplish that?
Hmm.
Just curious. I don't know.
You know, I don't know, Dyke. Obviously, they've got it. They're not broadcasting the fact, and it's not the internet. I haven't seen any leaks that would indicate that.
All right. Yeah, it doesn't really matter, I guess. If it happens, you know, it's the post-mortem is not going to matter much, I don't think, you know.
No, absolutely not. So, no, it's not. It means that we certainly need to be prepared to endure some, like, war-type events within the country, you know, shortage of food. I mean, even if it weren't for the war, we've got shortages of food coming on the shelves with the crops, you know, worldwide being hit by at least 25% drop, you know, due to famine, locusts, and due to environmental changes. But when you add war to it, and the distribution within, say, the United States by truck and by train, which are being compromised by these cells of fifth columnists that are attacking us on the left here. When you add that all together, we've got a problem, and we should be stocking food in our homes, food that will store, you know, canned foods, freeze-dried foods, if you can find them anymore. They're getting pretty rare. And protecting your communications devices like radio, I mean, battery-powered, solar-powered radios, so you can hear what's going on, or little TVs that keep you in touch as long as the TV broadcast networks are functioning in the country, so that at least you can know when troop movements are heading your way and that kind of stuff. I think we're on the edge of a very serious invasion to this country. The major cities obviously are not a place to live. The coronavirus proved that. I mean, where these areas are crowded, you're seeing a lot of people die because they can't get away from each other, just physical presence-wise.
You, speaking of coronavirus, and I don't mean to take you off topic or take you away from the slides, did you hear anything more about a secondary virus in China right now and an additional lockdown in China and something, you know, something bad coming this way, whether it's a variation or a mutation of COVID-19, as they call it, or a second type of virus? Have you heard anything about that?
I've heard, you know, some kind of brief snippets. I'm still trying to check them out, but, that Beijing is, under serious threat from an infection of some sort. And it's a crowded city, sure. And we have heard from, people who see dreams and, or visions and dream visions, that there is a second type of virus coming out now that will make sores, you know, festering sores on the body, as well as, you know, the flu-like symptoms. I haven't seen evidence of that yet, but of course, if something like that is happening anywhere in the United States, I'm sure that there would be a news blackout on that as best could be made possible to avoid panic. But of course, the left wanting panic and wanting disorder, if they get wind of it, I'm sure they'll throw it up on the news. So, you know, at this point, I'm still trying to verify what we're hearing.
Yeah, I am too, and but I've been hearing a lot about this, not a second wave, but a secondary infection that's going to, I don't want to say be worse, but be different than the first, have different characteristics. So, I don't know. I've got my ear to the ground, as you do, and boy, just so much to, you know. I looked at your show page before this evening's show, and I'm thinking, you know, where do you even start? and folks, by the way, Coach Dave was on the first segment of the show. You know what? He reminded me of something when he was talking about, you know, let's switch to defense. Dare to Prepare is still the magnum opus of all books in terms of preparation, or the gold standard of all preparation books. Dare to Prepare. Go to standale.com and order Dare to Prepare. Holly Deo did a fantastic job, just a tremendous job in this book. 632 pages. And there's nothing in here everything is just about everything any rational human being can ask is answered in this book. It's got over 340 photos and a great table of contents. There you go. Dare to prepare at standeo.com. It is a steal at any price, but I'll tell you something. My wife and I refer to our copy often. So thank you, Stan and Holly. Thank you so much for writing that book, as well as Garden Gold and other nuggets there on standeo.com. So I wanted to toss that in there. So.
Thank you for that. Certainly that Garden Gold mention is very important. With the famine threat on our doorstep, and it will become more evident in the fall here, it is really important that you have your own gardens if you can. And that Garden Gold tells you all you need to know about making your own garden, raised bed, and, you know, with minimum effort, how to keep the weeds out and things like that, and how to keep it, make it fertile soil and that kind of stuff. Our garden, we started early. We put seeds, you know, in seed trays in the house, probably 60 days ago, and sprouted our own plants and then planted them. And now we have large leaf squash plants, and finally they're starting to, the blossoms are starting to be pollinated and are producing squash. Watermelons haven't done anything except, you know, make vines and a few flowers, but no watermelons or cantaloupes. We have a lot of peppers that have pollinated already, but there's still time for you to start your garden and catch up with making your own tomatoes, and carrots are really good, and potatoes. Potatoes take about 90 days to get you a good set of potatoes, and we're probably within 2 or 3 weeks of our first crop of potatoes being ready. And, you know, as I say, because we started early, but we've been fighting problems with the bees not pollinating, problems with the ultraviolet from the sun burning leaves. Now our squash plants are helping over in their garden plot with the watermelon things by making these big broad leaves to shield the plants underneath from the direct radiation of the sun. So that it's a natural shield from their leaves. Our snap peas are doing good. We've already had some of our salads. But as I say, there's still time to get in there and grow your own stuff, especially the things that are underground, you know, the tubulars. They will last a bit, like onions and potatoes can be, you know, cool stored for quite a while. In fact, with Jerusalem artichokes, they're a tubular as well, and they're good for controlling your blood sugar levels for people that are diabetics. And I've put it in the fridge, and had them stay good in the cool temperatures in the vegetable drawers for nearly a year. And they can be eaten on salads, and they can be boiled and made like mashed potatoes. They're very healthy for you. So anyway, these kind of things you can grow and do yourself, and I do suggest that you try, even though we've got problems with the sun, we've got problems with the bees. The poor devils, I mean, we sit out here and watch them from year to year, and we have a bird bath, you know, with water for the birds, but the birds haven't been able to use it much the last couple of years because the bees have just been glomming on to that water source around the rim, and I've been having to fish out bees that are drowned in there. There's just so many of them, they're not doing their job pollinating. They're going over to the bird feeder we've got for the hummingbirds and sucking the sugar water through the cracks in the feeder. I mean, it's the natural the cracks that form where you've got a screw bottom or something like that. So it's not like it's broken. It's just that they are hanging around trying to get sweet water instead of going down there and pollinating the flowers. Now, we have virtually no fruit on our trees this year. We had a quick snap freeze that hurt a lot of them. But when we had flowers, the bees weren't pollinating. They just didn't come to the party. So things are strange, and I can only suggest that if you can't do a garden, to go out there and buy, you know, soups and, you know, goods that will keep on the shelf for a while so that you can eat when the grocery shelves are empty.
Yeah.
And this is a clear and present danger.
Yeah, I've been getting reports here and there, and it seems to be different in different places of the country, of food shortages of certain foods. And suddenly limitations being placed on items to buy. This last time I heard this was at the beginning of this panic related to the pandemic, coronavirus. So are we, is this the just in time frailties being, you know, showing up, or is this a sense that this is a combination of things, including what you're speaking of, and that's the weather that's causing some irregularities with the food?
It's hard to say what you're blaming on the most, but definitely the food shortages are going to be here. And if you aren't a gardener, don't want to garden, then buy what you can and put on the shelves or in your pantry or closet, and try to have enough food for 3 months if you can.
I planted some bacon yesterday. I'm not sure how that's going to come up.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you do that? You've been watching Duck Dynasty somewhere. Yeah. They plant bacon all right from their hides. Kabang.
No, you know, I think it's important if you can to have a garden. I know that I've got a friend who's got a hobby, gardens, put, you know, vegetables and such. And she does really, really well, but she works it all the time. But she was telling me, too, cucumbers weren't coming up, or not, weren't something with her cucumbers. There's an issue there. I'd have to ask her again specifically, but the zucchinis
are doing okay, I think, but the cucumbers are a bit of a problem. I don't know why.
Yeah, and she was saying it was that it's different this year. Her experience is different this year in planting than last year in not planting, but you know, watching the growth of the plants. So okay. Yeah, there's something not right, obviously.
Well, every day, Holly and I go out in the morning, and we check for tomato worms, you know, because they can devastate a plant in a day. We check for the little white moths that get into our cabbage. Those are almost impossible to get rid of. You can't keep putting on, like, poisons for them. You got to get down there with your fingers and feel the bottom of the leaf, and when you got a worm, squash it, or, you know, eggs from it, squash it, from the white moth. And we have a little bit of trouble with some birds, so we put netting. We have netting over most of the beds, for shielding 40% of the sunlight, which is that ultraviolet. And we pin it up with clothespins on poles. Now then, where we are, we have to face hot, dry winds. And when I say winds, I mean real winds where you get 40 mile an hour gusts. And so, periodically during the day, we have to go out and tend to that and reattach parts of the cloth that have been blown loose. So it's not a, as what's his name in New York City said, it's not like you just put a seed in the ground and water it and that's the end of it, you know. There's a lot of TLC you got to do to keep everything growing and keep the predators off of it, including, you know, small critters like mice and rabbits that get through your netting.
Can you imagine having like a huge farm, you know, with crops? And I mean, that would be, so you talk about labor intensive. God bless the people that raise our food. I mean, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Which kind of goes back to your original topic, the slides and such. I noticed that China's having a problem. China can't feed their people. I sense that there are some issues in Russia. So do you think that this would be more of a takeover for our food as opposed to the destruction of our land? I mean, you know, you nuke a Kansas field, it ain't coming back to, you know, to sprout corn. So I guess my question is, or whatever the crop might be. So, of course it could be both, I guess, right? I don't know.
Well, look, China has bought in, as has Russia, to a number of our industries. Russia's been more into steel and minerals and things, but China's bought into our meat production and controls a huge amount of it. Oh gosh, maybe 30 to 40% of it. You know, buying sausage and pork processing plants because they want them as well, because they own producing farms for vegetables and fruits, and also these meat product you know, processing places. They can take that food and take it home to them because they own it. And, you know, even though we've got it growing here, we're not going to get it. So that's a threat. And as you say, they wouldn't want to nuke these areas, but they might use a neutron bomb over major cities, which, in addition to an EMP bomb, which clobbers our you know, electronic industries and functioning devices. They might also use a neutron bomb which leaves buildings standing, but the neutrons, you know, the neutrinos and stuff produced by the bomb will kill living, you know, tissue within, you know, a certain radius of that bomb and still leave everything as far as buildings intact and, you know, infrastructure intact. Another way they can kind of go into the United States and take it over without destroying the necessary food production is with a virus or several viruses. You know, biowarfare, that leaves people dead. You just got to get rid of the dead bodies, and then you can have their farms and their grocery stores and all that kind of stuff. I am pretty sure from what the Hopi told Holly and I back in 1996 and 7 that we are going to be invaded by China and Russia and one Middle Eastern country, and that because of the way they invade us, you know, with these toxins, with these EMP bombs, with the viruses, that even they will not be able to stay here. They will destroy a lot of our major cities and a lot of us, and then they'll have to leave. They won't be able to maintain a presence here because of something they did. And the Hopi also said that damage will be on the east and west coast, and that the Four Corners region, you know, Colorado, New Mexico, and that area, Utah, southern Utah, will be where the Hopi will migrate to from Arizona, so that there will be a new race of man formed, you know, where the survivors of the attacks on the United States will bond with the people, you know, the Hopi, the Navajo, the Sioux, and form a new tribe. And that's their prophecies. But you can see that coming to pass, just like Washington's dream vision or vision that he had there at, you know, Valley Forge. He did see that there would be war and invading the United States, black clouds of war with a red light in the middle of it for some reason. And that unless an angel came over the Four Corners, you know, Colorado region and parted the attackers, that there would be no one survive. Personally, I hope that the Christians, the believers here, will have been raptured by that time and won't have to undergo all that. But, you know, I can't guarantee that. So it's a good time to evaluate your relationship with the Lord. So you were going to meet him tomorrow. For whatever reason,
yeah, you know, to me, I stand with a year ago. What a different conversation we were having a year ago. What a completely different conversation we were having 5 years ago.
And
to see it happen this quickly, everything happened this quickly. It's just amazing. And to those people out there who doubt that, you know, what Stan is saying, or think that this is, you know, hyperbole or fear porn or whatever, then I don't know what to say. I mean, just look at, yeah, sorry.
Well, look, we've got neighbors that we've talked to. Some of them aren't, you know, really like, you know, active Christians. They are believers and things, but they're suddenly waking up and saying, wow, have you noticed how bad things are getting? I'm thinking, yeah, where have you been? But it is getting their attention. It's, why are they so late to the party? I don't understand that, but anyway.
Oh, I hope that will also convert them to,
well,
yeah, I just hope it, saving souls. That's what it's all about.
I've got slides 46, 47, 48, and 45 kind of all linked to the same page. Because there are some interesting things in this. One of the sub stories in that link, these are signs of the next big earthquakes and a certain kind of fish washing up on shore in Mexico and Washington State, and clouds appearing that are like rainbow clouds over earthquake zones, say like in Taiwan just before, like a day or two before and on the day of big earthquakes. One of the things on that page is about how many, where is it here? How many, lightning strikes we had in the Northwest. I'm just trying to find it here. And I can't, of course. where is it here? It might be in that one. In slide 46, I think it is, the signs of the big earthquakes. There is a map, I think on that page that shows the, yeah, there it is. 87,000 lightning strikes hit Washington State on Saturday. That's nearly two-thirds of the annual average of lightning strikes. Now, why is this linked to earthquakes? Well, we do know that certain types of fault lines have crystalline structures in them. And so when they're starting to stress and about to rupture and form a big earthquake, they produce electrons that, primarily from the silicon or sand or silicon dioxide type crystals, these form a huge charge in the atmosphere around the fault zone. And when you have that many lightning strikes, it's telling me that for some reason, the charge in the atmosphere in the ground is seeing an increase. And these lightning strikes are a normalization of the buildup of these charges. That might be signaling that the big one is going to strike all along the cascaded subduction zone there, you know, from the Juan de Fuca area, from Mount St. Helens, down through the earth, the volcanoes on the west coast, all the way down to Mexico City. Right now, it's concentrated in the northwest, and that's where we have to, put our attention. Now, final notice from Google Ads or something. I hate those people. They drive us nuts. Sorry about that. Anyway, on that site there, there are a number of events that indicate huge changes in atmospheric electricity over the United States. And over Russia and China as well. So it's not just here, but we're concerned with what's happening here. And certainly these irradiated rainbow-type clouds are a function of ions in the air. Also fish washing up, like the ore fish. You'll see pictures of those. Let me just see here. If we go to slide 47 and click on the picture, you'll see a picture of an ore fish. And they normally feed in close to the shore, and we don't see them too often because they're down about 3,000 feet, you know, in the ocean floor, up, you know, near the coastline. But they feed on krill and things like that down at that level. If you look at slide 48 on the picture, you'll see why they call them ore fish. They're like long, flat oars. They're a flat fish. But these things surfacing, you know, being washed up, tell us that something is happening down deep there offshore, on the west coast all the way down to Mexico, that is anomalous. These are rare finds to find these fish washed up, to see them at all, in fact. Wow. And now, if you look, yeah, that's a biggie, isn't it?
And they live down, obviously, you're not going to be pulling that up from the dock under normal conditions. All right.
No, they're deep. You know, the shallowest thing I think is like 300 foot, but they're between 300 foot and 3,000 feet in their habitat off the coast. But something is wrong, and we're seeing this in the animal behavior. I think if we start seeing these charged rainbow clouds over the northwest, over California even, that we should be concerned about that. I see that a lot of people, because of the coronavirus or other things, are trying to move out of the major cities and out toward here, you know, into the flyover country where we live, you know, Colorado, Montana, Nevada, and all those areas. And property prices are jumping every week. They're going up by thousands because people are saying they'll pay anything to get a house, to get out of the major cities where the crime is occurring, where the disease is spreading. Look at slide 43 while we're on earthquakes. Just click on the picture.
43.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, 43 shows a couple of things. It shows the map of where we are in the United States there in Nevada, close to the California border. And it's in the middle of it, you see this cluster of earthquakes. There's 5,971 of them as of today. Now, and that's over the last 30 days. Why is this happening? You know, it's a kind of a zone three. You know, it's the orange and red portions are like where you have high probability of earthquakes, you know, from the USGS earthquake or hazard warning. But then you go to orange and then you go to light orange and then to yellow. Well, this is right in the middle of what shouldn't be an active zone. So go to your USGS links yourself and see daily, what is happening between there and Washington State and California and even down to Mexico about earthquakes. Something is happening. Primarily for us, it's on the West Coast here, but I'm also seeing it over in the Philippines and in Taiwan and those areas. So something is afoot. So you'll have to do your own checking on that during the week between our shows, but certainly you'll know we're monitoring that kind of stuff. And slide 44, there's another thing that's threatening us is locusts. You know, I've said this over the last couple of weeks. Watch this. You know, in Africa, in the Horn of Africa, we're seeing locusts, you know, of biblical plagues. And this is what the article's talking about. They pose a threat to, you know, to food and livelihood of 10% of the entire population of the world. So we're looking at, you know, what, close to 800 million people's livelihood and food are directly threatened just by the locust, not counting, you know, the weather changes and the sun's behavior. And that's really the major driving force, I think, which even spawns these locust plagues. But these swarms, they're huge. They're huge. Look at that link.
Yeah, I mean, that would kind of freak me out, Stan. I got to tell you, if I was not a believer in the Bible, I would become one after seeing this. I don't know. I don't know how people can't. Wow, look at that. I'm sorry. It's just. Oof. Sorry.
Well, the Mississippi River is making record highs. It's the second highest ever number of days above flood stage. Flooding will give birth to these mosquitoes and locusts and that kind of stuff. So even here, we will be seeing problems with that. I've read reports in the past where locust plagues have come through a village, and they had green sweaters or jumpers or knitted clothing on their clotheslines drying, and because they were green, the locusts ate those too. I mean, they just devour everything that they can chew on. You don't even want to be in the middle of them yourself. You can have 40 or 50 or 100 million locusts in a half a square mile. I mean, I've been in a plague in, where was it, in Victoria, Australia years ago, where it was like crickets or small locusts, et cetera. We had a plague of them so bad that I was driving down the road in the countryside there, and my windshield wipers were wiping off, you know, squashed grasshopper locust type things, and my car was slipping on the road from running over so many dead, you know, locusts. You can hardly see from them. It's hard to imagine what this is like. And once they leave, they leave destruction, you know, in their wake.
In the dirty car.
Oh, well, gee, terrible to clean, but anyway, yeah.
Wow.
So having been on the edge of that kind of stuff, I can tell you it is a real threat when you're in the middle of it, and they'll chew up anything they can get their teeth into, or their, you know, chompers, whatever you call them.
So that kind of is interesting. A green sweater hanging on a line, or a green.
Yeah, it wasn't even whatever. Food. They just ate it because it was the right color.
Wow. Yeah. When you were starting to tell that, for some reason I envisioned a locust wearing a green sweater. Never mind.
Oh,
but
you're strange.
it was anymore. I don't know. This is, so these clouds, if I can just go just briefly touch on the clouds again, that cloud formation, obviously clouds are moisture. So am I right? So you're looking at some electrical, what makes that formation?
The ions charge the air.
Okay.
And it makes the air kind of like a prism. Bending the light, you know, so that you get this, you know, spread of colors like a rainbow.
All right.
But this is due to that charge buildup. And I, you know, over Taipei there where they had that buildup and then they had the earthquakes, two of them, I think a 5-something and a 6-something within 36 hours of each other after this, all this was appearing actually over the island. We've heard reports of before big earthquakes, you know, 7s and up to 8s that people have seen balls of light pop up out of the ground and float around. And these are charged, like ball lightning, which are created by the pressure on the rocks that are called piezoelectric rocks. Because if you compress them or pound on them or put them under pressure, they will release electrons. And these electrons can form these ball lightnings that pop up out of the ground, float around, then discharge somewhere. You certainly don't want to be where one of them discharges either, because they've come down people's fireplace flutes, you know, down the pipe into a house and floated around while people were there and then discharged through a drain pipe or something like that with a big flash, and caught fire also to the fireplaces when they've done that as well, even when the fireplaces weren't on. So, yeah. The electricity plays a big part in forecasting earthquakes and in the case of the Cascadia subduction zone in volcanic activity, I think. I think we were very close to seeing the big one or the big ones plus volcanic eruptions on the north northwest all the way down to Popocatépetl in Mexico City. I've seen the dream, you know, in dream vision, I've seen it happen where we had seven or eight volcanoes from Washington State all the way down to Mexico City erupting simultaneously as the West Coast was breaking up. It's not like the movie, you know, where everything's going to fall in the ocean, but certainly there's going to be a lot of areas affected by earthquakes and flooding as, you know, the various fault lines break up and fracture all through California and up into Washington.
Wow.
Anyway. Look, we're getting close. That's all I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when. I'm not a prophet, but we are getting close to things happening that are going to be dire.
No, it obviously, just from your, again, from your show images page, it makes that pretty clear. Folks, standeo.com. And, if you're listening to this by way of archive, or if you're listening to this just simply audio, go to standeo.com and look at the, click through to the show images page and follow along some very interesting, extremely interesting photographs and accompanying articles as well. Wow. Okay.
You know, I wouldn't like to be, in President Trump's position, at the moment. I don't know how that man can sleep at all because of all the crises he's trying to wade through, you know, to navigate us through without destroying the country. Poor man.
Yeah. And then you got people poking him with a stick, you know, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. Seriously, I mean, if I was in that position, I wouldn't be, no one would have me, but I wouldn't resign. I'll tell you what, 4 years of this, that'd be enough for me.
Well, fortunately, we've got a guy that's been able to endure the stresses of the office and to make, you know, pretty sound decisions along the way, in spite of being hampered by, you know, the left and by the legal situation.
Every step of the way. Yeah, every step of the way, man.
Every step of the way.
Unbelievable.
You know, in slide 40, speaking of stresses and brain and that kind of stuff, in slide 40, I've got a picture of a new kind of chip that's mimicking the neurons in the brain. And for, gosh, maybe 70 years, scientists have been trying to figure out how the brain works and how all this interconnected neurons in the brain store memory. And so they've made a brain on a chip, you know, with artificial brain synapses, those axons or, you know, these nerve cells, but they've done it with silicon-based technology. And so I read up over the weekend, I read huge amounts of data, technical papers on how the brain works and, you know, how your memory works. Because when you go to remember something from the past, obviously, how do you select the year, the date, the time for that memory? You know, because if memories are stored one on top of the other in your brain somehow, how do you separate those? You know, mathematically, it would require something like a Fourier transform with a very complex sine wave analysis to decode the memory itself, much less find it. This is all somewhere that your brain can access it. And what they're missing is this. The information that they're looking for in time is stored in a dynamic circuit, a circulating current in like a ball of energy somewhere in your mind, or outside your mind in a parallel universe. You can say whatever you want, but people have seen balls of light pop out of people as they die. And I think what is happening is information is stored by modulating a wave that's there when you're 1 year old. It's one cycle per second, two, it's two cycles per second, up to age 21, and then it jumps to somewhere between 65 and 100 cycles per second. But that wave is your operative neural frequency that NASA discovered back in the late 60s. And that is where the information is actually stored. So By studying the physical parts of the brain, when a memory is triggered, various parts of your brain are then activated for that memory, like in vision, in smell, and, you know, tactile sense, what you feel. All these things are in different parts of the brain, and they are simultaneously activated to the level that was activated in that memory. But the memory is not really stored there. The memory is in this circulating current that stimulates the physical part of your brain in those areas so that you can relive that memory, you know, temporarily there by the stimulated parts of your brain. I'm probably not saying this, you know, clearly enough, but the papers I read were big and the equations were long like that. you know, and, but I just find it interesting that we've spent so much time trying to build an artificial brain. And then I realize that they're putting this into robotic devices already, making artificial intelligence. And I realize looking at the equations and the structures of how these things are built with multi layers upon layers of sensors or cells that they're building, how easy it would be to make a mistake so that that artificial chip, that memory would fail or would make a decision that is incorrect because it is such a complex issue that you can't forecast everything that could happen to that robot or that AI chip and, you know, cause it to do bad things to itself and to us. We're playing in an area that is quite dangerous, you know, quite dangerous.
I totally agree with you on that. If you don't mind, because this fascinates me a lot, the brain activity, when you talked about recalling a memory and associating that with a period of time or a year or a date. Tell me again, how do we do that? How does our brain do that again?
Well, so that's kind of the big question mark, because I don't think it's a mechanical or physical thing in the brain. It is this field that we are, the circulating current chasing its tail through, you know, our body somehow, in our brain anyway. And we have the ability, God-given ability, to extract from that circulating wave a time zone, a memory zone. But we can go to it almost instantly when we say, okay, what were you doing you know, last week? Your mind goes, oh, last week I was, well, it used to do that when I was younger. Nowadays, I have to think about it. Well, let's see, last week. so do you, don't you?
yeah.
but it's it can be triggered by a smell, a sound, a touch. You know,
something that can't be replicated though in that chip, right? Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they're doing it physically in that chip, whereas what happens with us and living organisms is that we have this this ability in this field to access it down into the lower depths of it. Try to imagine this. You got a heart wave pattern going along. You see it on the scopes in the hospitals. And then superimpose over that a radio broadcast from the local radio station. Okay, now you've got all that mixed together. And then superimpose over that a video of your favorite show, and it's all kind of mixed together and making peaks and valleys of things on the monitor. Try to imagine all the senses that you've experienced in your life affecting a frequency that is a current that is flowing within this electronic part of you. How do you dive down into that to a specific event date-wise, or to a specific thing stimulated by the color red or the sound of a train whistle or whatever? How are you able to access that like that and then reproduce the rest of it in your brain in those physical centers that they can measure? You know, this didn't happen by some things mating in a muddy pond and lightning strikes it and then it evolved into a two-cell organism and then into, you know, a complex thing that can reason and you know, change its environment and things like that, become human or become animal. These things did not happen by accident. It's a design so incredible that you can't see it and say, and not say, wow, this is the result of supreme intelligent design. You know, it had to have been designed like this from the start. It couldn't evolve, which brings us back to the existence of God. You know, there's just no way to see these things and not understand that this was produced by a plan. The foods that we eat that aren't part of our body that were made so that our body could use them. I mean, this whole ecosystem that is where we live with our animals and vegetables is all intelligently designed so it works together. It cannot have been spontaneous, you know, evolution. It just could not have been.
Yet some people refuse to believe, you know, in that. And it's it never ceases to amaze me how people can look at, I mean, just walk outside, look at the flowers, look at the, just look at everything. And think as to what you were saying, too. None of this is by accident. It's by intelligent design. It's by the God of the Bible. And I take a lot of, that means a lot to me. I take a lot of comfort in the fact that God's in control. Even when we talk about these other issues, earthquakes and volcanoes and all this stuff that could happen, God's in control. And thank God, literally, thank God, he's a God of mercy. So anyway. Appreciate that.
All right, slide 51. You know, people have seen, you know, green meteors, meteorites eventually come into our atmosphere for, you know, centuries. They've been recorded. This one just happened over West Australia where my sons, Josh and Nate, my daughter Laura, live with their families on the west coast here in Perth. Now, my son Joshua works up in that area where this fireball, this green fireball came over. Some people in the news were saying over there, it must be a crashing piece of some orbital satellite or something, things like that. The difference is what you're seeing here in this picture is that there's no little sparkly things, you know, side issues burning up like a solar panel, you know, breaking free from the satellite and burning on its own. This is a solid object with no peripheral things burning off of it. It's not space debris from orbital satellites. It is an object. Now, I was in Perth and saw this kind of a thing in about 1989, somewhere in there. And I was out in the backyard at 2 in the morning. I was coming in from my office out the back and had been working on a book. And I looked up, and it was, you know, a bright starlit night. And I looked out over my house ahead of me. In the darkness, I saw some what looked like kids playing with a Roman candle. You know, they'd shot up a green, Roman candle object that was sprouting, you know, flames from it and that kind of stuff. And I thought, what in the heck are they doing? It's not even 4th of July. They don't celebrate it here. Why have they got a Roman candle out in the front of my house? Well, then I realized, you know, whoa, this is not a Roman candle. This is an object on fire coming into our atmosphere right at us. And I got into the story, you know, in the middle of it because I'd come out and I was looking at the starlit night and had my hand on one of the trees there in the backyard looking up. And I said, you know, God, are you really there? Are you real? Or, you know, is all this just kind of, you know, happenstance and, you know, that kind of doubt you get in your mind that at your 2 o'clock in the morning, you're thinking, you know, are you really there watching us? And that's when this Roman candle thing went off to my left over the house. I turned and looked at it and then realized that it was a meteor coming in straight for us, right where we were. And as it approached and it got closer and closer, the green from it was so bright that you thought you were Martian invasion. The whole, you know, neighborhood was turned green from this thing hitting right for us. And it was leaving sparkly trail behind it, but it wasn't debris like from a satellite. It was an actual meteor. And as it approached and got closer, it broke into four pieces right over the house and landed in the forest behind us. And then I heard dogs barking after a shockwave hit, like a big sonic boom, cub. Bang! And I thought I heard even a second one. It could have been from all the pieces that broke up. But then I started hearing dogs all the way down, long way from us, starting to bark and, you know, chaos behind it. So looking at this, I'm impressed with this, especially because during that time back in the late 80s, was when I was having green visions, and my sons, Nathan and Joshua, were having green visions as well. And I got an email this morning from Nate, you know, Nathan, telling me, reminding me about a dream vision he'd had and shared with us back then, about what might have been a date, June the 26th, didn't know what year, seeing this thing hit into the Indian Ocean off their coast and creating a tidal wave or like a tsunami wave coming toward the west coast of Australia. And he says, gee, I wonder if we're going to see more of this debris hit in the ocean there. So this was something kind of close to me, you know, near and dear when it affects the family. But, you know, having seen that green thing come before over Perth that night, and you know, I suddenly said, you know, Lord, you and me, I was just having an idle thought. Sorry, I know you're there, and thanks for the warning. You know, let's be friends, just you and me. Yeah.
So, teach you to ask questions like that.
Well, yeah. Wow. Speaking of big asteroids, how much time?
We've got about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
Four minutes.
37, 38, and 39. I brought these old slides up to talk about the size of asteroid and what it can do. Now, if you look at slide 37, and you'll see kind of a, you know, you'll see that arrow going from that kind of, what would you call it? Not purple, is it? Or lavender area there, heading over toward New Guinea into that bright red area. What this is showing, it's a map that satellites made of the height differences on the surface of the Earth. Instead of being a perfect round ball, there are some areas that are higher than others and, you know, lower than others. On the planet, there's no other place on Earth that has such a deep depression and such a rise as this other than what you see over toward Iceland. This is where the great asteroid hit that caused the flood. I mean, to depress this area, you know, 280 feet, and then to raise up an area 350 feet on the right side there, and to empty out the Indian Ocean, you know, just make a basin, and to shove India up into what is now China and make the Himalaya Mountains where they met. This was a huge asteroid, and I'm still working with the university down there in Australia, Australian University, to try to get them to understand and check their data again, because this is the asteroid they've been looking for that moved Australia away from the Indian Ocean, where it used to connect very close to India, and to shove Indonesia over into what is now Indonesia and, you know, New Guinea and that stuff. But it was all joined together there, before this asteroid hit and caused the flood and the rain for 40 days and nights that came from the sky that didn't have clouds before. Anyway, this drawing is linked to the one in 38. If you look at 38, it has a different view of an animation showing exaggerated details about the depression in the Indian Ocean and the rays of the sea or the land over where New Guinea is. You can see that something huge hit and caused the Earth's mantle, the crust, to spin to where it is now, almost upside down. And the next slide there just shows it, you know, in a better detail, showing the gravitational field that accompanies that, where the mass is concentrated.
Those are amazing images.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's an amazing time.
Wow.
And I'll leave you this in slide 42. Go look at it. I've combined a bunch of pictures showing the Sphinx as it was in the 1850s, because it was just a head above the sand. It wasn't what we see now with the paws and, you know, the base of it all excavated. So, you know, it took like until the 1930s before all that sand could be removed in modern times. Two pharaohs tried to do it, in the past. But these are just interesting photos to show you what they were dealing with and what they didn't know was underneath. You know, they've been looking, they had to excavate all this to see what it looked like. So that takes, a bit of effort and determination to remove all that sand just to see what's underneath that head in the sand.
My goodness. Very interesting time lapse, if you will, photographs. That's marvelous. Stan, you've done it. You've taken us through the end of the program. I want to thank you so much for, again, your gracious gift of time and for all of your knowledge that you impart to me and our listeners and viewers. Thank you. Thank you very much. And your wife, who works tremendously hard, we really appreciate both of you. We really do.
Good evening, Doug. Have a good evening.
All right.
What's left of it. Bye-bye.
Right. Folks, that'll do it. Anna Lewitt, I want to thank you so very much for tuning in. Thank you for your belief, your trust, your support. We really appreciate it. We really do. Hagman Report Live there for the program, program descriptions, links, and so on. Hagman Store for coffee. May God bless you. Good night.